This is Boston Public Radio. I'm Emily Rooney Wells, as you were just listening to on NPR. It is indeed round two of the presidential debates tonight, live from Hofstra University on Long Island, starting at 9. It's town meeting style, moderated by CNN's Candy Crowley. That means your average, everyday citizens and supposedly all undecided will be asking a lot of the questions, although Candy Crowley has made it clear she is going to let her presence be known, interrupting or addressing the candidates for follow-ups and further questioning. All right, joining me to preview tonight's showdown is Scott Lehigh, a columnist for the Boston Globe. Welcome, Scott.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so I was fascinated by some detail your colleague Matt Visor reported in the Boston Globe today. So Obama's been in Williamsburg, Virginia for the past 3 days, near three golf courses he didn't play on, a Ferrari convention he didn't go to, a historic colonial village he didn't visit. I mean, this is really... And Senator John Kerry, of course, our senator, has been by his side playing the role of Romney in the mock debates. I'm not sure Kerry is the right guy.
Well, it's a very... Kerry certainly is not very animated, and it would be hard to imagine... He may know Romney's style
True.
Well, but it would be hard to imagine him doing a good imitation, because Kerry's got that very stately, a
yeah.
little bit lugubrious
yeah.
way of talking, you know. and Romney is much more, I think, matter of fact,
yep.
and kind of speaks much more the modern language than Kerry. Kerry, you almost feel like he studied rhetoric in
yeah.
the Churchillian era.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I was actually talking to Barney Frank on the phone yesterday on the show, and I was saying, he'd be better because
Barney would, yeah.
He's so disarming, and he sends you off your game. He says something.
And peppery.
Yeah.
He really, yeah.
He would just knock you off your game, which, and I think Obama needs somebody like that. Because
yeah,
I think
Kerry spends a lot of
Kerry's
time rhetorically
steady.
Kind of clearing his throat, you know, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, we're all talking about the obvious here, and as Matt was writing too, I mean, one of, Obama's advisors just said, this is a pivotal point. And if he has the same kind of performance that he had almost 2 weeks ago, I mean, it could be game over for President Obama.
Yeah, I mean, I got to say, I honestly am not one of those who thought on policy grounds that he was bad last time. I thought he explained what he was about. But what he did not do was truth squad Romney. So he let Romney get into the sort of center of acceptability. And I think that among people who aren't really very well versed on necessarily the policy contours here, which a lot of undecideds at this point almost ipso facto aren't, it that was a great thing for Mitt, because he was able to say, look, I've got all these plausible plans and I can do this. And if you don't have someone saying, here's why that won't work, Mitt, we both know that this is a problem. Then most people look at it and say, huh, those seem like good ideas. Maybe he's okay. So that, I think that was really Obama's single biggest failing. And I think that's sort of dreary work in a debate, going back and fact checking your opponent, but he needs to do it.
He does. But on the other hand, if he does that too frequently tonight, if he keeps pushing back, I think it's going to give an opening to Mitt Romney that Paul Ryan took last week, where he said, I know you're trying to make up for lost ground for your running mate there. I mean, and Romney could effectively do the same thing, you know.
He could, yes. But Obama could say, well, I really should have pointed this out last time. This is something I should have pointed out last time. He may as well just admit that, because, I mean, it's obvious to everyone he really is trying to make mm-hmm. up lost ground. He needs to sort of apply. I mean, there are many Mitts, as you and I know. We've covered him for many years and seen many different iterations of Mitt, and Obama needs to apply sort of a Mitt fixative. So there is a Mitt in people's minds that isn't the moderate Mitt that we're seeing trying to emerge now, but rather the conservative Mitt of the primaries, the man who declared he's a severe conservative. And if he can do that, if he can say, look, here's why your plans don't work, Mitt, here's what you said, this mm-hmm. is what you would do with the court, then I think he'll have a pretty good night. But if he lets Mitt sort of inveigle his way into the broad, acceptable center, then I think it's a little tougher sledding, because it's obvious, watching the way the polls have moved from the first debate, that a lot of what had hurt Mitt wasn't so, a lot of the reason Obama was ahead as much as he was, and it was a narrow lead, but a lot of that lead came not because people were wedded to him, but because the Obama campaign had managed to portray Romney in a way as kind of a vulture capitalist that was unappealing to people. And when they saw that Mitt was a pleasant person mm-hmm. and seemed very congenial, amiable, and maybe had some acceptable plans, they were much more inclined, I think, to give him a second look than Team Obama imagined they were. So now he's got to sort of take and shove him back over to a little more out of the fringe, a little out of the sort of the glowing center of acceptability.
I brought this up yesterday. We were talking about the debates as well, and I had heard this report on NPR on Friday that just grabbed my attention because I wish maybe they can look it up, whoever did the report, but he was saying that the debates have never mattered as much like this as they do now because the whole American mindset has changed. Everything is a game along the lines of American Idol or Survivor, and we're here pushing buttons and voting for things based on somebody's performance as opposed to their policy. And I thought, wow, the guy is actually right.
Well, he's right in this context. I mean, 45% of the people on both sides have made up their minds. So we're not, I mean, it's not as though we're
seeing... And there seeing
are some are lying. Well,
I mean, you don't think they've made up their minds?
Well, no, I think many have. I think that 90% of the electorate is decided. And so we're playing on a playing field that really is between the kind of the 45-yard lines here. But I do think for that group of undecided people, they are looking very much at performance.
At American Idol.
Yeah.
And Matt Mitt, he can, yes. You know. Of course, yeah. Obama's a good-looking guy, too, but he didn't have that presidential look 2 weeks ago. He just, you know, he was looking down, and he looked like he needed a shave, and it was like the whole thing.
Yeah, I think he was looking down as he was writing, but a lot of the visuals, it doesn't really make any difference because this is the impression people take away, and you've got to deal with it. And you've got to, maybe you're trying to be statesmanlike and agreeable, but instead you look passive, so you've got to react to that. You've got to adjust. I mean, no matter what you think you're doing, the perceptual reality in a debate becomes the reality. So if people think that you were too laid back and you didn't go after your opponent and you seem passive, and we've seen this whole psychological almost industry of maybe he really doesn't want a second term. He seemed like he was beaten. He said, come on. Yeah. But even though he himself knows all that's ridiculous, he has to respond in some way and adjust his performance so it alters the perception in this debate.
So I was talking to Charlie Baker and Shannon O'Brien yesterday, who obviously both know a lot about debates. And one of the interesting things Charlie was saying is that this whole town hall forum is completely different. He was telling me how you practice differently for that you walk up to the person, you approach them, you say something, but then you got to turn back to the camera and address everybody else. So it can't be just a one-on-one personal. Yeah. So tonight, you know, these supposed alleged undecideds are going to be asking these questions. There's about 80 people, I guess, in the audience, and I'm sure they'll handpick the questioners in advance. But so, and some of the questions I'm sure will be very personal. So, you know, I don't know who will be better at that, sort of like, you know, deftly handling the average everyday Joe questioner.
Well, I got to say, I hope they pick good questions. We did this back in the Kennedy Romney debates in 1994, and we had a citizens panel that asked questions. And I remember one gentleman was from Belchertown, and his question went to the candidates was, "What's the last time you were in Belchertown?" Which I'm sure was relevant to the good and simple citizens of Belchertown, but the rest of the state, you know,
or boxers or briefs.
Yeah, it doesn't tell us much.
That, you know?
So I really hope they select questions that are informed. Factually correct. I mean, that have a right factual premise to them and are relevant. And if they do, it'll be an interesting debate that way. It is a real challenge to respond to someone and yet have a larger message as well. Now, I would think that this would be a little bit of an Obama advantage. Mitt's got a flight distance with people. He's not all that comfortable with talking with the average Joe. And, you know, it's like the guy offering him buy him a cannoli in the North End. Oh, no, I don't want one. You know, he is not a loose person, but just, and Obama is, I think, much more relaxed. So I would tend to think this format would favor Obama a little bit, but.
So these people in town hall forums tend to wind up with some kind of a lecture, a diatribe, a personal, I mean, I'm wondering if they're going to really streamline these questions so that the person is up there standing there reading it, or whether they're going to be able to stand up there. And because if they do it ad lib, off the cuff, Trust me, I'm sure you have to. I've moderated a million of these things. The person, and your question is, and you know, is there a question in there? So I wonder how scripted it will be.
I think Candy Crowley will be quite good at that. She's a very knowledgeable person. If you watch her show, she knows the issue. She's got a manner that manages to really, I think, probe and get at the truth of things without being really confrontational. So I expect she would have the skills to do that.
They're not focusing on one thing or another. Is it foreign policy? I don't know.
I know it's not. I mean, my understanding is that the last one is
according to Edgar, it's foreign and domestic policy.
Yeah,
so it's a wider
range. Do more things here.
Yeah. So you're saying that you thought the format might favor Obama a little bit. It depends on whether he is going to be, sort of willing to be more accessible in a way,
he's got to be. I mean, this is the Bill Clinton format. This is what Bill Clinton loves to talk to people
very
and address their question.
Bill is, Mr. Accessible Bill.
And Obama here will have to be willing to explain his policies. He tends to shorthand a lot of things and assume that people know what he's done, but a lot of people really don't know. Explain his policies, tell why they help, why they're moving the country forward, and also play a little offense against Mitt in terms of saying, and this is what he said, and this is what he would have done, or he criticized it in this way, and this is why I'm right and he's not. And sometimes Obama likes to treat that as a self-evident proposition, something everyone should know. Now, other times on the stump speech, the day after the debate, he was quite good critiquing Romney. But during the debate itself, he really did not go back at Romney as much as he should have. And I think that you'll probably see a good deal more of that. I'm sure. I mean, they have to have prepped him for this. They have to have said, look, you were criticized for this. Whether that was a strategic thing or your own personal failing, and I think it really was a strategic thing, something they all had decided, we need to change. We need to change courses. People need to come out of this debate saying, wow, the president was really on offense. He took every opportunity to go after Romney on policy differences, and he really laid it out for me.
It'll be interesting to see the whole Libyan disaster has to come up tonight, and whether the president will offer new information. I don't know why I keep thinking there's another shoe that's going to drop on this thing. That they did know what was going on, but it was a CIA outpost or something that they had to protect for some, that there was something more to it, which is why there was this whole stumble-bum approach to how the information came out and what they were telling. I don't know. I mean,
well, Hillary has made a statement on that. You probably saw that she takes responsibility, and I expect that probably he will make a reference to that. And I think what he wants to be able to say is what Biden said. Look, if there was a request for additional security, it did not come to my level. And honestly, I believe that. I tend to think that's probably true. I don't think every request for enhanced security is it's not like Jimmy Carter in the tennis courts. I can't think a president signs off on that. So I would tend to believe him there unless...
What was it, Jimmy Carter in the tennis courts?
Oh, remember Jimmy Carter used to decide who got to use the tennis courts?
No.
The White House tennis courts? Oh, yeah. He was famous for it. He was such a micromanager.
I'd known that.
He would go all the way up to him to decide which of his staffers could play in the White House tennis courts. It's a famous sort of metaphor for presidents who just get involved in way too... who are unwilling to delegate. I mean, that's the thing. It should have been delegated. But I can't imagine, unless there was a word of a threat, a specific threat against the embassy, some word of a possible attack, it's hard to think a security request would make it to the president's desk. It is easier to see it making to Hillary's desk. So she obviously is in some way taking the blame for this to make it easier for him to absolve
himself.
But
I feel like there's more to that operation. I mean, this guy, Glenn Doherty, had to be a CIA.
Well, I think that in general, you see a lot of embassy staffing probably is sort of dual purpose in a way. So I just don't know. I mean, I do think it's hard to separate sometimes here what's true from the conspiracy industry.
Because I'm not much of a conspiracy person.
You watch Fox News.
I do feel like
there's
more here.
God. Well, there may be. It may well be. But it's very tough if you don't know the facts to differentiate between the hyperventilating.
I know.
Of
what
the
is
right
Fox
wing
trying
and,
to say? They knew about it?
No, and Nudie just says a whole bunch of absurd things, and this is obviously a cover up and they're lying. And you say, guys, there may be something here, but this doesn't really make sense. Yeah. I mean, what is the point of the cover up? Why would they do it if they knew we were going to come out later?
Yeah, I don't know. I just think, well, We'll see if he gives us a little more detail on that. All right. The Boston Globe's Scott Lehigh, thanks for that insight on tonight's presidential debate. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
All right. And I see Kara Miller is back in Studio 3.
Hey, Emily. So we're talking right now in the studio, and it seems like this kind of conversation is a pretty uniquely human experience, wouldn't you say?
You're going to tell me it's not.
That's right. So not anymore. It turns out that increasingly machines, cell phones, are actually talking to each other rather than just people.
Yeah. That's an interesting, you know, we're going to be able to do all that by machine. We're not going to have this conversation soon. All right. I'm Emily Rooney.
I'm Kara Miller. And you're listening to Boston Public Radio.